everybody. My name's Craig Baxter, and you are listening to episode 7 of the Cast Iron Podcast, recorded Thursday, the 19th of January, 2012. Coming up on this episode, we look back at last week's match against Colchester and forward to the games coming up for the Iron in the next 2 weeks. We discuss all the ins and outs at the club, we take listener questions, and more. But first, from ironinourblood.blogspot.com and photographer for the Scunthorpe Telegraph, it's Mr. Carl Gack. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Craig.
And soon-to-be lower league editor at footballfancast.com, it's the one and only Aidan McCartney. How are you, sir?
Yeah, not bad at all, mate. Not bad.
And last but no means least, writer of the Fan of the Day feature in the official programme, our resident psychic, predicting scores and player injuries in her dreams, it's Nicola Kilmore. How's it going?
I'm very good, thank you, everyone.
So before we started properly, just a quick apology and mention. I forgot to mention this in last episode 6, but congratulations to Paul White and Paula Davidson, who, if you were at the Boxing Day game at home against Bury, were the couple who got engaged at Glanford Park at half-time when Paul proposed. So congratulations to the couple, and thank you to Paul's sister Catherine for letting me know via Twitter. So we've had one game in the last 2 weeks since the last episode, which was Colchester away last Saturday, the 14th, which ended 1-1. Carl, were you there? What did you make of it?
I was there. It was a good game, to be fair. They were a better team in the first half. We were better in the second. I think a draw was probably a fair result. And it was good to see the three new signings get a game, but it's just a shame that we've lost Jennings now.
Yeah, I agree with Carl. I think we could have won it. I think we had chances to win it. I think, like Carl says, we picked it up in the second half and we really came at them, created enough chances to win the game. And yeah, it was great to see Jennings come on, 20-minute performance. And I thought the two, Walker in midfield was really effective, and he had a good game, debut, scoring the goal, obviously. And Vero did okay at right back. I thought he struggled early on, but he fitted in later on. And yeah, it was an all-round decent performance, to be honest. But we could have won. I think it's another game we look back at this season going, okay, we could have won that one, could have won that one. It's another one of them. But we'll take it on the day, because they weren't a bad team.
No, that's the pleasing thing for me. I think it's, like you say, it's a game we could have won. And pleasingly, given recent turnarounds at half-time, this time we've come out better in the second half, which has been something that has been pointed out far too often in recent history, that we've come out in the second half, having played well in the first half, we've then come out and just badly underperformed in the second, and in some cases handed or given away leads.
I think with them scoring like in the half hour mark, sort of they were in ascendancy leading up to half time. Obviously they picked up themselves after the goal, they had a few chances, Slocum made a few good saves, and they could have taken the lead before half time. But yeah, the second half we came out, we took the front foot, really. We tried to score. We defended quite high line, and we did all right. I thought we played some decent football. We created enough chances to win the game. But I think it's nice to see, yeah, Jennings came on, made a difference. We won't see him again for a while. And yeah, I thought Walker was decent in midfield. He helped them. I thought Sam Toggle had a great game, actually. I thought Walker alongside him.
So given that the performances of the three new signings, do we think they're fitting into the squad well? Can we see them challenging for first-team positions, Aidan?
Yeah, I think so. I thought they all fitted in quite well. I thought with Walker in the midfield, he took control of the game at times, and I thought he made a difference in our midfield, getting going forward and in defence, the defensive side. And I thought he brought out the best of Sam Toggle as well. I thought Toggle had his best game for a long time. He had a really solid game in that midfield, and obviously he's been playing all over the pitch lately, but it was good to see him back doing what he needs to be doing in that midfield, winning the ball and get it forward. I thought Ribeiro at right back was an... It had an interesting first half. He got caught out a few times on wingers running at him and stuff like that. But I think it's just positioning. He was a bit out. But I think that's the first time he's played with the centre-backs and stuff like that. I think that cost him a little bit. But in the second half, he was fine. He adapted to the game quite well. And with Jennings coming on, I thought Jennings made a real impact for the game. And I thought he was the catalyst that could have won us that game, actually. I thought we had a few chances when he came on, a few crosses into the box that Thompson could have gotten the end of. Yeah, and I thought, I was very impressed by him. It's a real shame he's out for the next 8 weeks.
Isn't it? Nick, what did you make of it?
I have yet to see them in person because I wasn't at the game on Saturday. But I think, I mean, if you look at all of Nil's signings, he's got pretty good judgment, hasn't he? And he's not really made too many bad calls.
Nicky Jones.
Malone's. the loans. But he's permanent signings, and from what I've heard from people who went to the game, they all did very well, and it's just a shame that I'll only get to see two of them in action in the immediate future.
So yes, we've mentioned that. So we'll move on to this Saturday's game, which is Stevenage at home. They're currently sixth in the table. We beat them 2-1 away. It seems like a long time ago now, back in October. They're on a bit of a run now. Their last time out, they won away at Rochdale 5-1. So they're in good form. Carl, what do you think is going to happen?
I hope it'll be another case of playing well against a team that are up near the top of the league. I'd like to say we'll win, but I think it's going to be difficult because they're on a bit of a good run at the minute, like you said, and it's going to be a tough game, I think, because they're quite a physical team, aren't they?
They are, and obviously in sixth, they're on the cusp of, you know, sort of they're the last team in the playoffs, so they're not going to be wanting to drop points and sort of fall out of that race because it's pretty tight up there, isn't it?
Yeah, one win or one loss can move. Well, it's the same at the bottom. One win or one loss moves you about quite a bit, doesn't it? So they'll be up for it, I think, and they'll be up for it for the fact that they're probably trying to impress somebody that's going to come in as a new manager or the players. So hopefully it'll not be too hard a game for us. But
I think also the fact that we beat them away as well, I think they'll be gutted about that because their home form's really good, and I think they'll still be ruined that day when we went there and snuck a win, really, because we did. We weren't the best side of the day, really. I thought they were a very effective team. They used the wingers really well, and they got behind the back of the scrummy defenders. And they did have quite a lot of chances in that game. And I do think it's a really tough game on Saturday, especially with our bloody home form. That is shocking, to say the least. And, it's tough, man. A sixth-place team coming to Bamford Park, who's only won twice all season, could be difficult with any injuries we've got as well.
I agree. I think it's going to be a tough one.
I do think we can beat them, though. I think we've beaten them already this season. I do just need to take on what we've learnt from the away games and play like we're away team instead of the home team. We just cannot play at home. Well, we could for half of the game, but not for a full game. So it's mad. Don't know.
Nick, what are you expecting to see?
To be honest, so on paper, you look at both of our next two home games, and I think most people immediately go, well, you've got no chance. And I think the people in their mind think they've got no chance. But they have had a good start to 2012, and they will be looking to build on that. And they're both going to be very difficult games, particularly this one because of Stevenage's away form.
Yeah, I agree. Aidan, what's your prediction?
2-1 Stevenage.
2-1 Stevenage.
Didn't want to say that.
Do you know what? As much as it pains me to say, I'm saying the same thing. It's a really tough one to call, and it's one of those that could go either way. It depends on which Scunthorpe turns up, almost, doesn't it?
It's like with two teams. What, away from home, we go there and you look a decent team and plays a bit of football and has chances. At home, with a team with no confidence and. They get the ball down in the first half and then look a decent team. And then the second, they just come out and they're just bloody awful. They look nervous and they just concede goals so easily. And individual mistakes would cost us all season.
Yeah. Okay, so Aidan and I are both going for a 2-1 loss. Carl, what do you think?
I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. Slightly more optimistic than us.
Yeah.
So I was toing and froing with between a 2-1 or a 1-1. I couldn't quite decide which way to go.
We're not really in form at home, though, are we? We're not.
Yeah,
I just can't turn it around this fast, you know. I know. I just can't see it.
I think that's what swung me towards the 2-1 rather than a 1-1. Just our home form and their current form.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little too tough. I hope I'm wrong, as usual. To be honest,
we've got to pick up something from these two games. I think you're going to be.
We need at least one draw or two draws or a draw and a win would be good. I'd love to beat Wednesday. That's another story.
But I think with the game coming thick and fast and that, you've got to start picking up home wins. If you don't start winning at home, you're going down, aren't you? You're not going to pick up enough away wins to stay up.
Well,
not in this league.
The worry for me is that with these sort of fixtures coming, we've made such a good start to the year. What we don't want is to lose the momentum. So it's not just a case of if we lose, it's if we lose and play badly again, particularly the home, you know, at home, coming back after playing so well away.
It's a massive game, isn't it, Saturday? I think it is a really big game, like you say, especially with the two in a row. And I think if they can come out and get a win against Stevenage, you never know what they might do against Sheffield Wednesday. Everyone's writing us off in that game, but I think if we could beat Stevenage, then we could beat anyone, can't we, really? And I don't think Sheffield Wednesday are the best team.
No.
Game a game away from home, didn't we? So I think if we turn up, we can beat any team in this league. We know that, but we'll have to see, won't we?
I think we're getting to the point now, though, where Neil's getting like his team that he wants to play, I think, isn't he? He's signed Walker, he's got Ribeiro on loan.
Yeah, the squad starts to look more of a Neil squad, isn't it?
Yeah, there's more people in the squad now that he wants. I know there's a few injured still, but there's more. He's got more of his own players in there now, and he's just filling the gaps in with players that he's got, like Reed and Canavan and that. But I think that the signing of Walker, I think, could be the biggest one, because it makes it a bit easier on the club. I know it was a bit of a farce with signing him, but it makes it easier on the club if O'Connor does go now or in the summer, if you've got somebody like that that can step in, because I think he can play the same role as O'Connor.
He did feel a sort of player, didn't he? Especially
he was taking control of everything at Colchester. He didn't want to let somebody else be in charge, if you know what I mean. He wanted to be the one charging forward. Togwell and O'Connor were sitting back a bit more, and he was the one getting forward. And he saw it with a goal, which he did played a nice 1-2, and then got through. He was a bit lucky with a goal, but
it was a good.
You make your own luck, though, don't you? Sometimes,
I suppose so.
He took it away well, and I thought. It was a decent goal. I thought, you can't mock him for scoring.
No.
Oh, no, you can't. You can't, but it did take a massive deflection, though, didn't it, to be fair?
When was last time Michael O'Connor did that? Got in the box, took a defender and had a shot.
Bloody hell, a long time ago.
See, that's what I mean.
I don't think he's ever done that, has he?
No, well, he should do. He's a fucking midfielder who can score a goal. He's got a good shot on him. He just doesn't do it. I don't know why. But yeah,
I think Neil wants him to be more of the sit-back man, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely this season. But I mean, in the last few years as well, Michael O'Connor.
Yeah. He's not scored that many goals, though, to be fair. He scored that one good goal against QPR, didn't he? He scored a free kick. Scored that free kick at home that was a bit lucky to go in, didn't he, a few weeks ago? So
it's come for United when he goes in the summer, will he? I don't think. If he goes now, he would be a loss, because we haven't really got anyone to replace him at the moment. But in the summer, when you've got a bit of time to look around for another player,
I don't know, though. If he goes now, and you've got a couple of more weeks, because they're not playing next weekend, are they? And you get Ryan and Mazika back, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. If you said him end of Jan, I agree. Yeah, true.
So the important one, Nick, what's your prediction? Because you're the one that actually gets these things right.
That was only the first time last week.
Pressure.
And that was a one-off. Oh God, I hate to predict losses, but I can't really see us beating Stevenage. So yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-1 defeat.
Everyone's gone
2-1. So that's all three. So that's three of us saying 2-1. Carl's gone for a 1-1.
Right, we're definitely going to win then, because we always get it bloody wrong. So now we're
winning that now. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Looking forward to it now.
Brilliant. So we're following that up on the Tuesday evening at home again against Sheffield Wednesday, where we lost 3-2, rather unluckily, as we've mentioned, back in the end of August. However, they are now riding high in fourth in the league. Their last game was a 1-0 loss at home to Charlton. So Sheffield Wednesday are another one of those teams where they're doing really well, but at Glanford Park, generally, well, on recent form anyway, we've picked ourselves up and we've got good results against them.
I think the team they've got is actually really strong for this league. I think if you look at people like O'Grady and Gary Medin and Marshall and from Stoke, I think it will be a really tough test for Scunthorpe, especially with the injuries we've got and what we were talking about at home form and everything. They're going to come in expecting to win with sell-out crowd from their end and stuff like that. It's going to be a really hard game. But I do think the way we're playing at Huddersfield this season, if we turn up and play like that, we can match anyone in this league, because they're one of the best teams in the league, aren't they? And we've got a draw away at Charlton. So like we've been saying, we can turn up against the best teams, and we need to do it on Tuesday.
Yeah, I agree. Carl, what do you expect?
I was just going to say, it's one of them games, isn't it, where, like Aidan just said, they could be buoyed by a big away following, like Huddersfield were, and they played pretty well. Or it could go the opposite way, and we could see the return of Super Rob Jones, and could be absolutely awful, and like the Rob Jones we know, not the Rob Jones they know, hopefully.
He's going to be awesome. He's going to have a great game.
Of course he is.
The man on ice skates.
Okay, so predictions. Nick first. Prediction for the Sheffield Wednesday game. What do you think?
The only thing I can see that's positive about this is, as Aidan and you pointed out, that they have a bit of a hoodoo over Sheffield Wednesday, if you like, at home recently, and that's the only way I can see it going good. But yeah, I think that it's not going to be a clean sheet, is it, against Sheffield Wednesday? A high scoring 3-2
wow.
win.
3-2
Ooh. Oh, a
3-2 win. Wow.
3-2 win?
Wow.
Who's going to score 3 goals? Wim scored 3 Ooh. Goals.
Wow. Well, okay. Carl?
Well, you never know.
No, you don't. You're right.
You never know.
You never know.
She dreamt it.
I was going to be optimistic.
Carl, prediction.
Ammunition every time.
I was going to say 1-0, but I think she just gazumped me.
Are you still going 1-0?
1-0 win. 1-0 win.
1-0 win.
See, that's
okay.
More sensible, though.
We've only had three clean sheets all season. You think we'll get a clean sheet about one of the best teams in the league?
I do, mate.
Okay.
It'll be Rob Jones, it's Jordan Robertson.
True. I'll go 2-2. I think it'll be a really entertaining game. I think we will turn up and we'll give them a real good game. So, 2-2.
Okay, I've gone on a similar sort of line. I think 2-1 win.
Ah.
So that's
why are we so confidently
optimistic?
Yeah, how... Why are we so confident? We're playing these teams.
I'm just basing it on past form against them. That's exactly all I'm doing. And yeah, maybe a slight premonition. You know.
We shall see.
I don't know. I'm not telling
you. Is that another dream?
So, talking of Nick and her dreams, Connor Jennings is now out for 8 weeks with a broken metatarsal after Nick had a dream about him getting injured. So it's all Nick's fault. Everyone
it really
isn't. Blamed
it. It really, really isn't. It honestly isn't.
It really isn't. So he was training on Monday, and the club announced that he'd broken his fifth metatarsal on the Monday. He went for a scan in Leeds, which is punishment enough, I think, having to go to Leeds. He went for a scan on Tuesday, and the club have announced today that it's confirmed he's going to be out for approximately 8 weeks, which puts him coming back, by assuming I can count, mid-March. So given that...
He might come back then and score the goals that keep us up? Is that being optimistic?
That's optimistic? That he's coming back and keeping us up?
One way of looking at it, yeah. The other way of looking at it is that we've got nothing until then, and it'll be too late.
I'm sure they're not just going to leave it with nothing, though. They're not.
No,
I don't think
no
he's actually
to be fair, no, they won't.
I always thought Jennings was like they said, the investment signing. And we were going to sign someone alongside him. He didn't cost that much. He was one for the future.
You can't imagine he's going to be earning a massive amount and balance that by...
And you still got Dagnall's money, haven't you?
Still going out, so you've got a bit of leeway left.
We have got the wage. Look at them. If they were after Murphy and people like that, he's not on a cheap wage. So we have got the wage to spend. I think we will spend it now on what we need. A centre-back and probably a striker. Definitely a striker.
Yeah.
So we've had a little bit more movement in the last 2 weeks in terms of the squad as well. As you already mentioned, we signed Josh Walker from Watford, originally signed on a free transfer until the end of the season with an option to extend until for the next year. That then, bizarrely, a couple of hours later, evolved into a one-month emergency loan after it emerged that he's already played for two clubs this season. And under FIFA rules, can't play for three different clubs within the same season. However, one-month emergency loans are exempt from that rule, so we're 1 month emergency loaning him over and over again. We can do it three times in a row, I believe. So again, that takes us until March, doesn't it?
I just don't get why in the first place...
April.
End of the season, pretty much. Like, last few games we'll be here.
So he's going to be, sort of 1 month emergency loaning until...
Yeah, but why didn't our club know?
Why did not notice this?
No, they must have known that he played for two other clubs, and they knew that rule. I knew that rule.
It's a bit silly, isn't it?
Management, it's not very good, is it? But
it's a bit amateur, to be honest.
It makes you wonder who noticed it in the end, though, doesn't it? Because we could have been stuck with him.
The tea lady.
Yeah, probably.
Well, announced it was on the official website. The different news sites were... sort of Sky Sports and whatever, we're all sort of talking about it. And then it was, 2-3 hours after that announcement went up, it was suddenly, hang on a minute.
Actually, it's just a loan.
It's just a one-month loan. Somebody's and didn't they release him? So we're effectively one-month loaning him from
nowhere.
Nowhere.
Nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure when they said they're releasing him, I'm sure that takes time to do that anyway. So it's only probably takes a matter of a phone call to say, hey,
maybe
that contract.
Didn't release him so that we could do this. But then if that happens, what happens if he plays really well and Watford change their minds and keep him?
It was even more odd because they first came out and said it was undisclosed fee, and then they came out it was free, and then like few hours later it was a loan.
There's
like,
some massive cop going on there somewhere.
That's a good point.
Actually,
I'd forgotten the fact that yes, originally it was undisclosed fee
what
on
the hell?
The website, and then it was a free transfer.
What would have happened though? How much more stupid would we have looked if they'd signed him for this and they'd signed him and then it was, but he can't play till next season?
Yeah.
That would have been even more ridiculous.
That would have happened.
If nobody had realised till it was. Well, till it was way too late, and then
what
he's got 6 months.
And then we played him on
Saturday,
and then we realised what happens then.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a good job that we noticed then and not later. So at least we are able to play him, and as we say, it sounds like he's going to be a player worth having around. So
I liked his attitude as well. He said that he could say what he wants, you know what I mean? But he came out and said, yeah, I'm signed. I'm a permanent player. Don't worry about that.
He sees himself as a permanent player, doesn't he?
Like,
that's what he's
like
saying.
That.
Yeah.
Good,
yeah, he sees himself as a Scunthorpe player. This is just a technicality to get him playing.
I like that attitude, though. I think that's a good approach because you need to be.
Well, then.
Yeah.
Then there is always that thing, though.
Yeah,
if he plays really well.
Yeah.
He could end up anywhere, couldn't he?
Sweeping in. Yeah. Because he's effectively.
He's got the attitude though that he wants to be here, and he's got a bit of faith in Nil.
He's obviously happy
to talk
about that. So,
yeah, I agree.
That's got to be a good thing, though, with all the rumours about the disharmony in the camp and stuff like that. It's obviously not, is it?
No,
when a player like wants to come...
It's showing that Nil's got... People have got faith in Nil to come here, isn't it? Same
yes,
with,
definitely.
A lot of people do have Nil.
Yeah.
Yeah, same with Jennings and it's same
well.
With Rivero. But...
Yeah, you can see why as well. So, we've also had... The other new signing was Christian Ribeiro, right back, 22 years old, Welsh international. You wouldn't think without surname that he's Welsh, but he is. 2 month loan from Bristol City. Aidan, you said that he didn't start particularly well, but sort of came into the game.
Kind of. I think they targeted him a little bit. And him and Nolan was awful in the first half as well. But Ribeiro got caught out a few times positioning, and yeah, it was. Then he settled into the game sort of thing. I thought he didn't play that well alongside the centre backs at first. Obviously it's his first game, and yeah, I thought he settled into his role in by the second half. But I do think he'll be an asset going forward. I think I remember him for Carlisle, and he was very good. I thought he got forward really well, and I think he'll do that really well. And I think I'm looking forward to seeing him on Saturday playing as an attacking fullback. Hopefully.
Yeah,
he weren't helped though really at Colchester though,
no,
because Thompson
no.
was playing so high up the field.
Yeah,
he was more or less playing as a wing back, wasn't he?
Yeah, with that formation, that does that, doesn't it? He gets isolated.
Yeah.
I think that's the only problem with that formation, to be honest. I think they do
You need somebody to drop back, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. When you play that formation, the risk is there, isn't it, that your wing back, your fullbacks get a bit exposed.
Yeah, they did. They both got really exposed, and I think they took advantage of that, and they got past Nolan loads of times. And
and then he gave the stupid penalty away.
Mm. Yeah, ridiculous penalty. But no, I did think Bero really did come into the game, and he did look his own in the second. He played well in the second half.
Cool. So those are the players that have come in. Players going out in the last couple of weeks. We've released Michael Nelson on a free. Why? I don't quite understand why we released him, given that. Kilmarnock were interested.
We paid him off.
It was just a way of getting rid of him,
But I don't. Why have we done that when.
Well, he's one of the highest paid players on the club, wasn't he? So we didn't.
I can
him,
see why we've got rid of him, but why have we paid to get him out of contract so that he can. When Kilmarnock were interested in signing
him? If we were paying. He wasn't going to go there unless we. Obviously, he wasn't going to go there unless we paid him off. His agent's not an idiot. We paid. Let's say we pay £1,000 a week for him. So we pay £3,000 a week for him. Kilmarnock only offer £2,000. They want the rest of the money. We pay him £76,000, and that pays for the rest of the contract. You understand? So, I think that's what we have done. Paid off the rest of the contract that we would have paid him extra. You know what I mean? So he's still getting paid exactly the same we would at Scunthorpe, but he's at Kilmarnock sort of thing.
He's got it in quite a lump sum money more.
Right, I see.
Yeah. I guess so.
So do we agree with getting rid of him?
Yeah, I think so. It's been a year. And he's had some really good games. I remember the home game against Nottingham Forest, the game against Swansea last year at home, he was really good. But this year he's not been given a chance, really. I think.
Well, this is it. It's not just that, but also it's looking increasingly unlikely that Duffy's coming back, given that he's now playing for Everton and playing well.
Yeah,
so that leaves us very, very bare now.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? I think we've got rid of a player we actually needed. Like, I can actually see Nelson starting ahead of Canavan. Really can. I don't... Okay, Nelson and Duffy. Nelson and Reed have always looked a bit slow and tiresome at the back together. But I do think Nelson's a better player than Canavan.
So I think that's it. We've sort of sent him out. Now looking a bit thin and in supply.
A little bit, but... Well, there's rumours of Murphy, isn't there? And I'm sure they've got other people that are
going to
maybe coming on loan. A little bit, yeah, but they've said it's until... I think it's Martin Taylor comes back from injury, they've said.
So with Nelson gone, the other two players that have effectively left the club is we've confirmed we're not going to extend or re-loan the two Man U players, Norwood and Johnson. So both players have now returned to old trash can. Are we going to miss either of those? Norwood, Johnson?
Not particularly.
I think might miss Johnson. I think when Lillis comes back, it won't. I do think Slocum had an interesting game on Saturday. He did it. He made some really good play.
He seemed to not want to catch the or save the ball, didn't he? There was a lot of shots he spooned back out into the area.
Well, I was walking past a Colchester fan on the way home, and they were saying it's the worst performance I've seen from a goalkeeper in 44 years, which I thought was pretty harsh. He wasn't bad at all. I know, I thought, bloody hell. But they did say that, and I thought, wow. But I can understand where they're coming from. Colchester, the home of goalkeeping.
But for goalkeepers.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, but no, I thought he made some good saves, but he got to question some of his technique on some of the saves as well. There's a few that could have swarmed in and gone to their place and stuff. So, but
yeah,
he did enough, like get your body in front of the ball, which is his job. But yeah, we'll see. I think
there was a couple of times when I thought you could have saved that and kept hold of it. But
yeah.
There was also a couple of times when you thought, oh, that could have easily gone in. Like, yeah, he did make, it was in the second half. Their guy had a shot from about 30 yards out, just hit a volley after a corner.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that could go into the top corner. And he just parried it away, saved it quite easily.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting performance. That's what I'm going to call it. Because he didn't do anything wrong. He just didn't do, I don't know, some interesting
stuff. I think he knows now it's up for Lillis there to knock him out of the team, I think.
I honestly think when Lillis comes back, he'll be straight in the team. Honestly, I do. I think he's a lot better than Slocum. I rate Lillis quite highly. I think he's a really good goalkeeper, and I think he's going to improve with games as well. Because obviously, he hasn't played that much over the few years, has he? Apart from being on loan and stuff like that. So
no, he's not had a massive amount of experience, has he? So I don't think. I agree. I don't think we're going to miss Johnston or Norwood massively. I think
Norwood was always underperforming. Really, I've seen so much of him, and he never really turned up that much. He's like, oh wow, he looks a great player, but then. Kind of doesn't do it every week.
He gave the ball away quite a lot, didn't he? He was a player that would go for a glory ball and
I don't
get 3 yards in front of it.
We won't miss him. That's how much.
I wasn't massively under impressed with him, but I wasn't massively impressed either. And we have sufficient quality in midfield.
Yeah,
now
in the centre of the park.
I don't think we'll.
He didn't have a regular run in the team anyway, though, did he? So it's not like he was in every game, and we'll be missing him because he was.
No, exactly.
Not recently.
So I think when I saw him, he played well enough, but not well enough that I'm gonna miss him. I think we've got other players that can play as.
He was a steady player,
he'll get a club, but not that high, I don't think.
Okay, so we've had one question sent in by a listener, Jamie Morgan. Thank you for your question. And he asks, if you were in Mr. Nil's shoes right now, how many players would you be getting rid of this January? How many would you bring in, and in which positions would you strengthen?
Good question.
Good question. Thank you, Jamie. Carl, let's go to you first.
I don't think there's anybody really in the squad now that I would get rid of, to be fair. I think getting rid of Nelson, like we've talked about, and Dagnall going is probably all I would have got rid of because they were probably the two top earners. I don't think there's anybody else I would, other than maybe Michael Collins, because he's not, but then he's injured, so there's not much chance of getting rid of him, I don't think.
No. I think there's a few that on the peripheral who you would get rid of, but I can't see them coming for him. And also...
Yeah.
we haven't really got the squad. If we get rid of them, we've got to replace them, sort of thing. They'll go in the summer because they're probably out of contract, like Collins and a few others, and I think they'll be gone in the summer. But I think we've got to stick with them at the moment and just get by.
Yeah, we need to keep them till the end of the season, just so we've got them numbers, because we've got nothing. If you lose them and you don't bring anybody in, you've nothing.
With the exception of central midfield, every position really is looking a bit thin, isn't it? I think the central midfield is the only place really where we've got any kind of depth.
And we've got injuries in there.
We have injuries there.
So
we've got very good depth in central midfield, but everywhere else, we're up against it. There's not a lot of depth there at all at the moment, is there?
No, not at all. I think.
Looking at that, you could say that goes back to last season though as well, couldn't you? Because we didn't have a lot of strength.
Yeah, well, last time last year we signed three players on loan, didn't we? We signed Nunes, Garner, and Miller. Yeah, this time last year.
Yeah.
So we strengthened. We still didn't have enough to stay up, but we were a better team, weren't we? I think I can see that happening again. I can see Neil being a few loanies. I think a young striker maybe.
Towards the back end of next week, I think there's stuff like that will probably start to happen, won't it, when clubs realise.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think right now they're still kind of fishing for bringing
signings
in, aren't they? If they can bring anyone else in, I think once it gets past that point, they'll start looking at, what loans can we get in that are really going to strengthen in positions that we need?
I think it will be one permanent signing and two loan players. That's what I think we'll bring in.
I would happily settle on that.
Yeah, but that's what I hope. But that's kind of what
given the position. So, position-wise then, Aidan.
So yeah, we need a forward who can score goals, please. We need a left back.
They're amazingly easy to get hold of.
They are so easy to get hold of.
Get Cooper back on loan, that'd be fine.
Yeah, no, they're not easy to get hold of, but we do need a goal scoring centre forward sort of thing.
Mm.
I think Robinson's done well recently. I think he needs a strike partner. I think if you play 4-4-2, you need someone to play alongside him. I don't think Dagnall's that man. He wasn't. I don't think Grant is. I think Jennings was, but he's not here.
Yeah, I think him and Jennings together would be very good.
I thought that was going to be a starting lineup on Saturday, but obviously not now. But I can see him signing another sort of player similar to Jennings, but who might have a lot of potential at his level. And then I can see him bringing in the centre-back as well. I really do think we need a centre-back, especially with Cliff Byrne. We don't know how long he's going to be out for, whatever. And
I agree. For me, the biggest one for me is central defence. We've got to bring in at least one. We're just so thin on the ground there.
But Ashley Palmer, isn't it? They're back up at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And
great. He looks okay, but we can't afford that risk at this level. I suppose you could play Andrew Wright there or whatever, but it's not good.
Yeah, you're getting to the point where you're talking about moving Nolan into the middle and playing.
Or Ribeiro. Ribeiro played at centre half, aren't they?
And playing either Togwell or Andrew Wright at left or right back, respectively. But then
you don't need makeshift when you've got the transfer window open. You shouldn't have to do makeshift.
No.
You should sign
especially when then we've got, we've got the second half of the season to go. We can't spend the second half of the season
with a makeshift defense.
Given the league position we're in. We need to be moving up the table. We've got to strengthen, haven't we? Really,
it's why he's after Murphy. Isn't
sure,
it? Makes sense.
I'm sure that they want to do that, but you've got to get them players to come here, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. They're clearly plenty aware that they need to do it.
Always thinking of a lone centre back in, couldn't you? I imagine they're easier to find than a permanent centre back who's going to sign for Scunny, like the sort of St. Duffy sort of player. There's more of them in the Premier League who want to come out alone.
No doubt, especially given the success that Duffy's had. They've got to look at that and think, well, he came here, he's played regularly, he's impressed, he's gone back to Everton, and he's now playing for Everton.
He's very fortunate to be at a club where they don't sign players, isn't he? But I know what you mean. I can see them looking at that and thinking, oh, yeah, that's a good club to go to. But I do think our position in the league will affect the people we're being
yes,
in.
Yes, true.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that could be an offer.
So we do need to pick up a few wins before the end of January, really, to move us up there so that we're not in a relegation battle. Because, that does help.
I agree. So, talking about that, that moves us nicely on to the poll on the ironsupplement.co.uk. We've been running a poll for the last few weeks asking our members what the Iron need to sign most in the transfer window. That poll is now closed. Interesting results. 50% of the votes said a striker, 25% of the votes said a winger, and 25% said central defender.
Interesting.
So interesting. I would have thought central defender would have dominated that vote, but no. 50% of the votes said striker.
Yeah, I'd have thought striker would dominate it.
I think striker. I think, like we just said, I know it's not ideal, but you could get by with the defenders we've got, and with Togwell maybe playing. But we need a striker that's proved now. We need a striker. Thompson's done all right at times, and then not done anything for. Like, he was poor last Saturday. Bartram's not really done a lot for the last 2 weeks. You need somebody else to take a bit of that burden off.
If we don't sign a striker, you can easily see us going down, can't you? I don't think we've got enough firepower up front to stay in this league.
Especially not missing Jennings now for the next 8 weeks.
Yeah, Jennings out for 2 weeks.
It's kind of like not signing him now, isn't it? There's going to be kind of no point now. It's like we need to bring someone in. We haven't signed Jennings. We need to sign a striker who will keep us up.
Yeah, you could put that to one. You could put that to one side and say, right, that's he's
for next season now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like looking at, like, we've got a youth player. Oh, when's Godden back? Is he back soon or?
He's back in training, I think. I'm not sure.
Is he good enough to come in and be that man?
I haven't seen him.
He did all right in pre-season.
So that poll is now closed. A new one has now replaced it on the website, which I'm going to get you guys to talk about now. I'd be interested to see what you guys say. Are the Iron right to live within our financial means as much as we do? So, obviously, we've seen everything that's going on with Darlington right now, but just generally speaking, most clubs in the country seem to live or spend more than they can afford to spend. They're sort of gambling on success a little, whereas Scunthorpe are probably one of the few clubs in the country that aren't a loss making, you know, from a business perspective.
Yeah, I think it's one of three. Us, Birmingham, Wolves are the three clubs not in debt.
So the poll. The three options on the poll. Yes, the future existence for the club has to be first priority. Maybe we should be careful, but pushing the limits more might show more ambition. Or no, everyone else is spending more than they can afford and gambling on success. Us not doing the same holds us back. Aidan, what do you
think? I think, quite a lot about this, I think that you need to get the balance right.
Briefly.
You need to get the balance right. You need to sort... You spend enough to stay in the league, which we're not doing at the moment, really. We are spending a lot of money, but we're recovering from last season. I think what I've said before is we made a big error last year. We spent money on the wrong players at the wrong time. We should have spent it in the summer. If we spent it in the summer, we would have stayed up last season. Nigel actually might have stayed a bit longer. And then the money we would have got 6 million for staying in the Championship. Instead, we got relegated, we lost 4 million. We've now got big, big financial problems with this wage bill and stuff like that. We've got to get down before next year. We lose our best players. We've already done that, and now we're seeing the consequences of that. However, I do like the way we are run. I've always thought that, but there is ambition, and we do lack ambition, I think. But then you can't really win, can you? So.
No, I agree. I think it's one of these things where you've got to find the right balance, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
The biggest problem, though, I think, is that the board is like, there's nobody on the board that is, other than Steve Wharton, that's got loads of money.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? There's no mega rich.
It's a one-man club, isn't it, really? We are run by one man, and we do need some new investment. We have needed new investment.
And he's admitted that, though, hasn't he? He has admitted that, and he knows that that's where the club needs to go. I think it's just finding the right person. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that would love to.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, with the size of the club as well, it's not going to be a club that's going to be able to fund loads of sort of big money signings through merchandising and all this kind of stuff.
We will find our level, won't we? We were having a massive We were well above our level. We were outside.
Massively overachieving.
Oh, yeah, massively.
We were about to find our level, aren't we? Either bottom end of League One or League Two, really. I think that's where we belong.
I think, to be fair, we could easily be a comfortable mid to upper end League One club every season.
Yeah.
Playoffs every so often and have a season
still,
in the Championship.
For our size, is still an achievement.
Right? Yeah, it's fantastic.
When you look at us
compared to some of the clubs.
Yeah,
lower down.
And Lincoln and just in the near vicinity to
us,
both with bigger stadia. And
they're not league clubs, though, Craig. It doesn't count.
Massive away support, couldn't speak.
Massive away support, absolutely. Which obviously means better.
You actually win leagues by away support now. It's called I didn't know that.
They've got a new column, isn't there?
Got rid of the point system completely. It's all just based on how your average away support.
Yeah. That's what it is. I've heard they're changing it. From next year,
yeah.
You will literally win the league by away support. It's all that matters.
Yeah,
it's like the Huddersfield Town rule, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You're unbeaten if you're not unbeaten.
Unbeaten is not guaranteed more than the others.
Leeds United against promoted to the Premier League just for the support. They're a big club. They deserve to be in the league. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
a ridiculous argument.
It is ridiculous. It's a stupid thing to say.
It's a stupid thing to say.
Big codhead fan who needs to shut up.
It does. It's the word better that gets me as well. It's the more equals better. It's, they've got a better support. No. You've got a bigger support. That's not better.
Because there's more people. Yeah. There's more people in the town.
You happen to be a club in a bigger town, so you have more people.
How many fans did Millwall take to Wembley, and how many did we take, and who won the fecking game? That's what
exactly.
matters.
That's
what matters. Millwall fans crying in their coffees, whatever, and we were there.
Coffee.
Don't forget you live in London, Aidan.
Yeah.
Cappuccinos, I meant.
Frappuccino.
Yeah, cappuccino. but
yeah, so I'll be interested to see what people come up with on the website with that. So yes, get yourselves to theironsupplement.co.uk. Get yourself registered if you're not already, and get your vote in. And that nicely ties us up. That'll do us for another episode. So thank you everyone for listening. Episode 8 will be in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, if you enjoyed this episode, please tell your friends and anyone else that will listen. Don't forget you can subscribe via the feed links on the podcast website, which is castironpodcast.podomatic.com, and via iTunes, which you can find on that website, and via the ironsupplement.co.uk. The link's on there too. If there's anything you didn't like about the show, or if you think we could do anything better, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to discuss, email them to us at castironpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again to Nick. You can follow her on Twitter at twitter.com/footychick25. And if you'd like to feature in the official matchday programme, which she writes, you can send an email to theiron@scunthorpe-united.co.uk to apply. So thanks, Nick. You can check out Aidan on the Twitters at twitter.com/AidanMcCartney. Cheers, Aidan.
Yes.
And you can follow Carl at twitter.com/CarlGack. And don't forget to check out ironinourblood.blogspot.com. Cheers, Carl.
Thank you very much.
You can follow me at twitter.com/BaxiBoy. And you can follow the show itself at twitter.com/CastIronPodcast. Speak to you all in 2 weeks' time. Up the iron.
Up the iron.
Up the iron.
Up the iron.